freaking out of!
This is Brock and Salk.
You want to go to the Seahawks game? All right, give me one more screen.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
I would put very little stock in what Brock here has to say.
Streaming nationwide on the 710 Sports app.
Salk, the third time in 2 days, is flat out wrong.
And 710sports.com.
Well, good morning, everybody. It is Brock and Salk, 710 ESPN Seattle, 710sports.com, 710 Sports app. What's up? What's going on? Happy Friday. We made it. We made it through the All-Star break. The Mariners are actually going to play baseball tonight. Thank God.
Why did this week not feel very difficult compared to years past? Is it because this baseball team is super relevant? Because they had four All-Stars? Because they were the major storylines of the All-Star game and everything else? And training camp's now 6 days away.
Oh, I think just because I took off Wednesday to do jury duty, which never ended up happening. But yeah, it was pretty easy.
You did.
4 days this week.
You did?
Yeah, I wasn't here.
Oh, remember? That's right.
Yeah, maybe
you're.
No, I guess not. No, maybe you don't remember.
I got the CTE, man. I can't.
It's very sad.
Yeah, this football thing.
I hope you're okay. All right. Well, we got some weird surprises and stuff in store for you guys. Hey, it's going to be sort of a strange day here in the Brock and Salk show. But I'll start Colin Cowherd style with an analogy.
Ooh.
I don't know if this is one he would necessarily make. But as the Mariners enter the second half of their season tonight, I couldn't help thinking about them, Brock, as a golfer in the middle of a round. Perhaps it's the Open Championship that's on my mind. Perhaps it's getting ready for the American Cancer Society tournament on Monday with Brady and Howdy and Kyle, who's bailing on us. My friend Rob Leslie is going to be there instead. I don't know. Whatever it is, I was thinking golf as I was thinking about the Mariners and where they're at. And I think they just had like the best round of their life. They went low through seven holes. First seven holes, they just started cooking, right? Started off with like par, birdie, par, and all of a sudden went like birdie, birdie, birdie. And you're like, whoa.
And every one of those were a birdie putt from like 15 to 17
right.
feet.
Like they're putting out of control.
Out of their mind.
I mean, they, you know, might have a couple hiccups with the driver, right? Like occasionally like a little missed shot from 150 out just off the green. But they have found a way to just putt so well that they are shooting the round of their life through seven.
And every golf pro is going to say, this won't last.
Of course.
I mean, it's just not going to last. You can't keep making 15 to 17 foot putts. Eventually,
and then
that runs
they
dry.
Doubled eight. And then they took a quad on nine. And you're like, okay, good thing the break is here, right? And you get into the little snack shack, and you're like, man, I was just hungry. Last couple holes, I was starving. I needed a hot dog. It's hot. I need some air conditioning. Like, just give me a couple of minutes to compose myself. I was clearly getting tired. I'm a little hungover from last night. I need a hot dog. Why don't they have any onions? I need some raw onions with my dog. Good. Get the raw onions out. Get the mustard. Get a little relish. Maybe even some sauerkraut.
You think these guys are that pushy, huh?
I think it's possible. Right. I mean, I've done that.
They're professional baseball.
That's right.
They're used to having their clubhouse attendance.
True.
Serve them
standard.
Well.
True.
They live to a certain standard. All right. So now you've sat. You've calmed down. You got a drink.
Your blood sugar.
You got a glass of water. You got to a little rest. You got your hot dog. You got out of the heat. And now you got to get back in the cart on 10. Hopefully you actually finished your food. Hopefully you're not dragging that hot dog with you with the bag of chips down to the 10th hole, because that never goes well.
And the 10th of Druids is what again?
Well, don't talk to me about what? The 10th of Druids. Water in front of you and on the right? That's just me.
Well, that's pretty much what it feels like.
No, not really, because you're going to come in and play the White Sox. You don't have some difficult, underrated par four.
Yeah, except
You got the easiest hole in the course coming up on 10.
Okay, so maybe, what is it, Coyote Creek 10?
You were at
a wide par five, lots of room.
You were at home against the White Sox for three games coming out of the break. This is about as easy as it could possibly be. All you got to do is execute, regain your confidence, and then go tackle the back nine, because guess what? The cart girl is just a couple holes away on July 31st.
Yes.
Carco's coming on July 31st. Yeah, she gets there. You can grab it.
I saw her heading up 14.
Hold on.
You
hold
know,
on.
Like, okay,
no,
so
hold,
she's coming.
Hold.
Here.
Hold. While he was on jury duty, look at the analogy he was thinking through. While we were working here, Kyle, and he's sitting there and actually got waived off jury duty, man, this analogy goes deep.
Yes.
I mean, you have been thinking
about
this.
Well, that trade deadline is just 10 days away. And I mean, she's coming on 11. All you got to get through is hole 10. Okay, you're going to see her on 11, at worst at 12. She's got energy drinks. She's stocked up. Whatever it is you think you need, a little snack mix, trail mix to finish the round, whatever it is you think you need to finish this round.
A Mike Salk Bloody Mary?
Not to mention, you know that you've been playing like Howdy the other day without your pitching wedge. It's hard.
But I mean, how do you explain without his pitching wedge and his sand wedge and his 9-iron?
Well, the Mariners last year actually lost every club in their bag, and at some point they were trying to play an entire course with a 7-iron.
True.
But like Howdy, who lost three clubs in one round at Druids Glen on 7-10.
Hard to do.
The Mariners have been playing most of this round without their pitching wedge or sand wedge or whatever it is you use a lot.
I'd call it three. Okay.
Some use a lot.
Yeah.
You want to say your 3-wood?
Yeah.
All right. They've been playing without their 3-wood, but they know where they left it. And they're going to get that thing back on 14 or 15. And when they get that back, they're going to put that right. And you know that you need that on hole 15, 16, and 17 because those are 3-wood holes. Robbie Cano's coming back. You're getting energy drinks from the cart girl. It's a trade deadline. You've got an easy par 4 to start off hole number 10. You just got to come back out of this break rested, ready to go, and go execute. Can they do that?
That's a pretty good analogy, kid.
Thanks.
Yeah. I kind of dug that. And I think Howdy did. He even popped his head up.
I saw a little mole man Howdy pop his head up, like, but I think it was just when I mentioned his name.
Oh, this is pretty good.
Oh, yeah, I did lose three clubs in one round. Yes, that's true.
I mean, it's not as good as my fan fiction Friday that I'm writing right now, getting ready for Clayton in 10 minutes, but this is a pretty good analogy. Yeah, I think that all fits. That's funny that you went golf. I went studies. As I thought about the Mariners, I just went back to my student days and thought about the Mariners were kind of like me as a student. They worked really hard. They did everything imaginable. But they weren't, like, unbelievably bright. They weren't Jae-Hoon Lee or April Jagger in my AP calculus that just got it. They just got it. How come they can just understand this concept? And I got to work as hard as I can. I got to do everything imaginable. And I can get pretty good grades by just doing that. But ultimately, when it comes to test time, you know, it's just you don't have quite the horsepower that some of the others have. And I think that's a little bit right now where
because
the Mariners
they actually have to concentrate on
especially without Robbie, especially without some of the additions that are going to come at this trade deadline. They've got to be just right. They've got to get their homework in. They've got to double check it. They've got to study. They've got to get everything. They cannot just take a couple days off.
I think you could take that right back over to the old golf analogy and say, look, they're like Zach Johnson. They're just not a long hitter. Zach Johnson's leading the British today, okay? But he's just not a long hitter. He didn't have the margin for error. He's not going to be hitting wedge in every time like DJ is. He's got to concentrate on every single shot. He can't go long. He can't go short. He can't go right. He's got to concentrate on every single shot, and that's where the Mariners are as well. All right, a couple of things. Some text messages coming in. 710-710, powered by Coors Light. Y'all are rock stars. Love the analogy. Mariners are going to be just fine. Love it, Salk. Man, you guys are reaching for it this morning. All right, people, you don't like my analogy, whatever. You
what
come up with an analogy. Jeez. Funniest analogy and very fitting. Thank you. I appreciate that. How about this? What is the best thing to grab at the turn? Because I got one here that says, yeah, you got to get a couple of 5-hour rocks, 5-hour energies and a banana.
Or like Gatorade. You need some electrolytes. You need something.
Yeah, that really is determined on time of year. Okay, if it is in the fall, you're playing around, it's cold, you're going to get some hot.
That's
true. You need your hot chocolate.
But let's say it's summer.
It's summertime.
It's a hot dog and a beer.
Yeah.
Let's be clear.
Yeah, I think a hot dog is about the only place that I, or the golf links, and maybe a baseball game, are the only places that I really enjoy a good hot dog.
Brock.
Yeah.
You just spent 10 minutes talking about a Costco hot dog.
That's true.
Yesterday.
Yes.
Which you said
so
was the best.
A baseball game, a golf course, and Costco.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but I don't like go for it. I just said that's like the best deal out there. That's the best hot dog.
But you don't need it?
You don't go out of your way. I mean, it's not like you're randomly.
So you're telling me you'll eat random hot dogs at random golf courses,
sure.
But not the ones you think is best at Costco?
Because I play golf randomly. So then in my mind, I'm like, I can do this. I go to Costco regularly. And if I ate a Costco hot dog regularly, I'd probably be 245.
Can I ask you an important question?
Yeah.
When's the last time you went to the Nile?
I've never been.
You've never played the Nile? So you've never had the German dog at the Nile?
I have never played the
Nile. Well, Brock, we have to go. I haven't played there in years. Me, you, and Brady, and Kyle, and Howdy. We're all going to go. We're going to get a five-person deal. We're going to go to Nile just to get the hot dogs.
Best hot dog in King County.
Best hot dog I've ever had.
The golf
no
carts,
one comes close.
Like the little Shriners cars they drive at the Fourth of
July. Last time I was there, there was a guy who had his own cart. He had brought his own cart to the Nile.
To the Nile Shrine, please.
Dude, he smoked more in an 18-hole round of golf. Then like, I'm trying to think of like who smokes the Dennis Leary.
Well,
like,
he's a Shriner,
dude. He was all over it.
Shriners, they gotta smoke.
Yeah, I've never anything
a cigar?
Never seen anything quite like that guy. All right, as I said, some weird surprises coming up today. Some tone deaf people in the news, but right now 7:10, time for Need to Know.
need to know. The voice of Seattle sports.
Brought to you by VenueKings.com.
Here's what you need to know up first.
Mariners put the All-Star break behind them. They'll open up a five-game homestand with the White Sox in town tonight. Well, if you want to continue with the analogy of golf and the Mariners and this being the 10th hole, they are not going driver off the tee on 10. They're going to take out a little 7-iron and lay up. Wade LeBlanc will take the mound for the Mariners tonight against big-game James Shields, who's been anything but against the Mariners, who've had his number over the last couple of years.
Yeah, got to get after it tonight. You know, this is one of those games that you've gotten your rest. There's still going to be moves to make. We'll get some of the Jerry DePoto sound as he joined the afternoon guys yesterday. There's still going to be, as you said, in your analogy, the cart girl with some energy drinks and something to juice up the rest of your round. That is going to be coming. But this is a home series. This is a couple days off next week. This is exactly in this plan of things. If you talk to Scott Servais, Jerry DePoto, and the rest of them, they knew that the end stretch going into the All-Star break, especially as beat up and as injured as they were, was going to be very, very difficult. Those are going to be some hard holes to play. This is the one. This homestand right here, you've got to take advantage. These are some birdie holes, and you got to make your putts.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Well, Mariners general manager Jerry DePoto, doing his regular spot with Danny Dave and Moore yesterday, said he continues to work the phones as the trade deadline approaches and emphasized that he's also looking at position players, not just pitchers. That market should start to get cooking now that a couple of the bigger deals that were blocking the way have gone down. Manny Machado dealt to the Dodgers, and then yesterday Brad Hand and Adam Simber end up going to Cleveland. And with those two out of the way, I think the rest of these deals can start to topple over the course of the next 11 days here before the trade deadline. And Jerry's going to have to be active as he watches everybody around him. Cleveland's gotten better. The Yankees will get better. The Red Sox will get better. The Astros will get better. The A's are a giant wild card, and we'll see. But the Mariners have to find a way to use their resource, which is cash, as opposed to what other teams have, which is prospects. And hopefully being the one team with cash to spend will end up being a huge benefit to them, because they need relief help, they need starting pitching help, and they may need a bat as well.
11 days from now has been Salk's favorite day on the sports calendar his entire 40 years of his life. You love the trade deadline. I would argue and I would contend in our show here, as we've gotten a chance to do this and go through this many times, this one has the biggest divide. This one has the most level of intrigue. If we were to do the intrigue and count the trade deadline days down, this would have to be number one for us doing this show together. Number one, because the Mariners are an excellent baseball team that are very much poised for a playoff run into August and September, but they need pieces. And number two, because it's the haves and the have-nots. Unlike years past, and especially last year, more than half the teams in the American League are folding. And you've got, I think, a real opportunity to take advantage. And boy, Jerry said the phones have been busy. I would imagine they would be until a couple moves are made here over the next 11 days.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
All right, day two of the Open Championship from Carnoustie. Leaderboard looks like this. Zach Johnson with a great second round, shot a 67 today. He is tied for the lead at 6-under with Kevin Kisner, who is still out on the course. Other big names on the leaderboard, Rory McIlroy just 2 shots back at 4-under. Tony Finau is up near there as well. Tiger Woods is 1-under. I'm sorry, he's even, excuse me. Tiger Woods is even here on the day. He has been up, down, bogeys, birdies, a very full scorecard.
Your guy Jordan Spieth, tees off this afternoon. Those that played in the morning yesterday will flip it around and we'll tee off and play throughout the later part of the morning. Here in Seattle, Ryan Moore equally on that list. Well, obviously put himself in excellent position in that first round. Some names to watch, some weather to watch. A lot of rain gear out today. Some of our favorite play here in the Pacific Northwest as those guys battled the elements over there in Scotland.
Spieth, by the way, actually on the course, has played one so far.
And?
Even.
Oh, okay.
He had a little sketchy drive off one, but he rescued it.
That's kind of what he does. All right, there you go. Three things you need to know every single morning. We do that right at 7:10. I'll tell you, if you watch a lot of golf and then you watch the Open Championship, the British Open, you'll see a lot of names you don't recognize.
Yeah.
I mean, I watch almost every single week what's going on tour, and then all of a sudden there's like four of these South African dudes that you never heard of.
Is Howdy's looking like tournament. Playing? Is Howdy's looking like ever made a major?
JJ Spahn?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I don't think he's ever played in a major, but I hope he does. That guy walks just like Howdy. He's built just like Howdy. He swings just like Howdy. Never seen anything like him.
Make the same amount of money.
Yep. Yeah, just right. About. He is boy Howdy. Projected cut, by the way, right now at 3 over. 7:30 this morning, I'm going to steal from someone on the internet. Is that okay? Are we allowed to just straight up steal? I mean, if you credit, are you allowed to just straight up? Because I saw something yesterday that really got my gears turning.
Well, I think typically those bloggers love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So it's okay to steal?
Just, as long as you give them their due.
I plan to steal in just 15 minutes. Before that, the professor.
John Cleeton's Morning Drive with Brock and Saul.
If you want to take care of him, take care of him now. The price is only going to go up.
Brought to you by Divorce Lawyers from N.com.
He's too important to let go. You're not trying to
totally break everything down.
Plus, a wild card.
What magic trick would you like to be able to perform?
I can maybe try to have you disappear. That could be nice.
It's John Cleeton's Morning Drive with Brock and Salk.
Good morning, John.
Good morning, guys.
What the heck is going on in the NFL? What happened yesterday between the Dolphins stuff getting out with their anthem policy and then Roger Goodell and the Players Association coming out with essentially we're not going to do anything? What's going on?
Well, what basically just shows how messed up the decision was back in May at the owners' meeting when they came over and gave the teams the ability to make the punishment. They're going to fine the team, then come back, and the team can do whatever they want. And so now you have 32 different varieties of what teams are going to do. And apparently, in a 9-page document that they're going to give to the players, the Dolphins decided and ownership said, okay, we're going to put this under player conduct. Player conduct gives us the ability to, you go back to Terrell Owens and all that, you can get a 4-game suspension. And so I think once that started to go back to the league office, it started to open dialogue with the Players Association. So for the last couple days, they have been starting to talk. And so what they decided to do is suspend temporarily the policy that they put in May, and then try to see if they can work something out with the Players Association.
Hey, John, why can't they just do what you have recommended?
Because they're stubborn.
Why can't they just stay in the doggone locker room?
Yeah.
Just stay in the locker room.
Simple.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, why? Okay, if they're not doing it, why? Does that feel like a loss to one side or the other? Does that restrict too much of the individual freedom? Why can't they just stay in the locker room?
Well, I know that when I talked to owners back in May at the owners' meeting, they basically were saying that it's like, well, geez, it looked like we'll be conceding, and that's not a good idea. And it's like, it's like, so? Get it out? I mean, look how bad this is right now. I mean, you have Jarrell Casey, one of the best defensive players on the Tennessee Titans, saying that he's going to go and still continue to protest, and people were saying, I'm canceling my seats.
John, look at the start of training camp, a season anew, right? In spring training, hope springs eternal. Just all the goodwill that every baseball club basically in America has as they build into their season. Spring training, bring the kids, all the fun environment. Here we go. Here's training camp. Here's open training camp for so many teams. Seahawks sell out their tickets and their allotment to their viewing immediately, right? They all get it done. And instead of actual football and the players and all the storylines, you're going to now start camp once again in the national headlines with your ridiculous anthem policies.
And again, it's a simple solution. Just have the players in the locker room. It's not like this is a long tradition. It's something that's been around now for less than 10 years, and they can go back to it. I mean, if they're still getting money from military organizations, well, it's like, okay, let's change that and give the money back.
I'm sorry, John, I disagree with you. I don't think that that's the simple solution. I think the simple solution and the problem here stems not from the decision they made, but from the manner in which they made the decision. Roger Goodell's blind spot and problem is not the way he's dealt with the national anthem. It's the fact that he refuses to continue to engage his partners, the NFLPA, in the conversation.
Yeah, because he works for the 32 owners that have that kind of disagreement, lack of partnership.
But they need to engage the players. The players are where this thing started. The idea of top-down dictating to the players what the policy will be, even if it's something that, as you said, you think makes sense, like sitting in the locker room for the anthem, you got to talk to the players, and that always seems to be Roger's problem.
Well, Doug Baldwin said that when he talked to Roger Goodell last year, Roger promised that they would include the players,
but they didn't.
And they didn't.
They didn't.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't. That to me is always going to be his blind.
But isn't
spot.
That always the rub in any of these unions? The baseball players and Tony Clark, and I mean, it's just always
stop
the
trying
rub.
To do things unilaterally. Yeah. But Roger does it a lot.
Yeah.
And unfortunately for baseball, I mean, like the union essentially runs that sport, so there's not that much they can do unilaterally. They lose every time. I think it seems to work against them every single time.
Hey, John, speaking of Seahawks camp, and it's going to begin next week, and the rookies are going to arrive early in the week, and then the veterans and all the physicals. How many Seahawks do you expect to start the season on the sidelines, on the PUP?
Maybe three or four at the most. I know that on the last medical report that Pete Carroll gave, at the mini camp. He thought everybody should be there, but you figure maybe one or two or three guys will come back and still not be there. So I think the key is to see if, you know, Deion Jordan's going to be out there. Brandon Marshall's going to be out there. So, some of them, well, we don't know about Dante Johnson. You know, he had that knee procedure. So I think the big thing is they should be in pretty good shape. I know the Chicago Bears, they're getting everything done today as far as their reporting, and they don't have a single player on the PUP list.
You know, there was that headline during the season at some point, about Malik McDowell going to be released and going to be done. Do we anticipate that happening? Is there any timeline that seems and fits appropriately with their roster?
Probably Thursday or Friday, because that's when you put players on the PUP list. That's what they'll do with Cam Chancellor, and that's what they either have to do with Malik McDowell, or just work out a settlement or whatever they want to do. But he's probably not even going to be there. They already given away his number. His number's already with another player, so he's out of sight, out of mind. It's just that his contract's still existing.
Let's just do a wild card.
Time now for the wild card. Wild card.
Mr. Professor Clayton?
Yes.
It's time for Fan Fiction Friday.
Oh, boy.
John Clayton is a career bus driver who finally finishes his dream retirement home on an uninhabited lake. But just as he moves in, a greedy land developer played by Val Kilmer buys the entire lake around Clayton and quickly builds a series of party houses for spring breakers and summer vacationers. Watch as Clayton teams up with an environmentalist who talks to animals, played by Dwayne The Rock Johnson, and a killjoy nerd, played by Boy Howdy, to take down each house one by one. How will they sabotage Val Kilmer's plans without getting caught?
Well, we don't care about getting caught. We got The Rock, so The Rock's going to take care of this. And because it's on an island, I don't know what kind of police state is going to be there. So I think we got a good shot on this one. Although, Val's got all the money, he's got all the power, all those different things. But, hey, I got The Rock and I got you. We're taking him down.
Yeah, also, Val hasn't been in a movie in like 15 years. So I feel like you've got an edge. He's gotten fat and old and sloppy.
I mean, and Rock's got two movies coming out right
Val's
now.
Val's going to be in the new Top Gun, though.
He is.
Oh, yeah. He's making that.
Yeah.
What's it going to be, an old plane?
John, did you see like the trailer for the new Rock movie where I'm pretty sure he just fights a building?
Yes.
It's called like Skyscraper. So yeah, I'm with you. I think he can take on anything.
Yeah, because I mean, what's this going to be like, Die Hard, I guess?
Howdy, what did you say the role is you were playing in this
Killjoy
movie?
Nerd.
A killjoy nerd. That sounds like kind of fun. How is that different from your regular life?
I have lots of fun right now.
Hey, I'm just glad he's here today and not in the British Open.
It's true.
Yes, J.J. Spawn. JJ, that's this guy.
Sure.
All right. Thank you, John. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday. All right. John's show, of course, coming up at 10 o'clock. John Clayton with Danny David Moore today at 4. We got like 1,000 texts, of course, as soon as you talk about this Anthem thing.
Yes.
And I just want to make one thing clear, and I'm going to say it calmly. I'm not going to get mad about it at all. But
all right,
for anybody who's texting in or yelling at the car or whatever and saying, no, of course, my company can tell me what to do. Their employees, that's the way the world works.
Yes.
It doesn't in a collectively bargained situation. I fully understand that your employer or my employer can tell me what to do.
Mm-hmm.
That is true in a lot of jobs in the country. But the problem is, this is not one of those jobs.
Yeah,
this is a collectively bargained situation.
Yes.
Everything that goes on, and all the rules that the league sets up.
And this has been bargained, and the owners have the leverage to make this decision.
The player association doesn't agree with that.
Okay.
They don't believe that they have the ability to create this rule.
Yep.
And that's where this fight goes into court, and that's why they're having to put this whole thing on pause. And as long as there is at the very least a question about whether or not they have the right to do that, then it continues to be an issue in public. And that's why I think Goodell makes a mistake every time he tries to just institute these rules. As soon as you challenge the players on something like this and it goes to court, the issue gets bigger and bigger and bigger instead of his goal, which is to make it smaller and smaller and smaller.
Correct.
So I appreciate that everybody is saying, hey, Salk, you're crazy, you're an idiot. Everybody can tell their employees what to do. Yeah, in a lot of jobs, you can.
Yep.
In this job, you can't. There is a CBA that governs everything in the NFL, all of the rules. And if the Players Association deems that CBA is being broken and they want to take it to court, that's why these fights continue to occur and why they play out over as long as they do.
Yeah, and why in about 4 years it will be very, very contentious. It may be one of the most contentious since the lockout strike. I think even
it's going to be worse.
Even past this last lockout. It's
going
to go back to the strike days of the 80s. It's going to get very hot and very contentious, and many of these things hopefully will be put in some black and white because everybody's losing in the gray.
All right, you can listen to the show, of course, on the 710 Sports app, driven by your Puget Sound Acura dealers. Coming up next, I will steal from a local blogger. For good, I hope. Next on Brock and Salk.
You're listening to Brock and Salk.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
All right, obviously a lot of polarization around the NFL, the anthem, the policies, the way Roger Goodell handles his business. We'll be discussing at 8 o'clock. We'll give you guys a chance to weigh in, maybe even grab a phone call or two then so you can prepare yourself. 206-421-3776. Phone number always open if you want to jump in, be a part of the conversation, or the text messages 710-710. Powered by Coors Light. All right, let me steal for a moment, Brock. Is that okay? Are we allowed to steal if you credit? I think you are.
Can you say, like, reappropriate?
Sure.
Like more, yeah.
All right, fine. I want to reappropriate from a Hawk blogger who was on Twitter yesterday with what I thought was a really, really interesting poll. And I wanted to get your take on it because I think it opens the door to a lot of good conversation about the Seahawks. Mm-hmm. And essentially, I'll paraphrase, he was saying, assuming that you'd like to win 11-plus games, that would be the goal, what's your second choice? Would you rather win 8-10, maybe have a shot at the playoffs, or would you rather win 3-6 games this year, get a higher pick?
To me, there is just simply no question about this. To me, this is as clear as day. You want to win as many games in the NFL as you possibly can. This is not baseball. This is not where you, and we've even seen in baseball, and I think this team is doing it right now, where you don't have to tear it down, where you've got a good, young, core group of players. You can continue to morph. You can continue to adapt and to change. There is no question in my mind, and I am a big Russell Wilson as a football fan, and I don't want to see him have any doubts about his future here in Seattle. And if they win, what is it, 3-6? Is that the number? And then 8-10? They win 3-6 games, we've got real problems. Real problems, and he's going to be going in the final year of his contract and may not want to be a part of this thing. So for me, I answer that very easily and don't have to think too much about it, 8-10. I do love the question, though, because it brings so many things into view. It brings Pete. It brings John. It brings your confidence in all of that. It brings your Russell Wilson. Is he really a franchise quarterback? And for the fan base, and I don't know how large it is, that gets very frustrated with him and his game, would give them ample opportunity to say, see, he wasn't. He wasn't all you thought he was. He needed that defense and everything else. And I don't want any of that conversation. So for me, I would vote 8-10.
Yeah, I unfortunately find this to be a hard one to answer. You know how I feel about being in between. And 8 wins is as in between as it gets in the NFL. You know, if you're going to be a mediocre team, there's a really large part of me, Brock, that says, forget that. Be a bad team. Just go be bad. Go stink. Go win 3-5 games, pick in the top 10 of the draft next year, get yourself the next great talent that's going to come in here and help your team for the future. Do what you did when you drafted Earl Thomas and built this thing with him first and Russell Okung, and then eventually some of the other high picks that you had. You had, what, a top 13 pick that you ended up turning into what was the pick they ended up trading back on and getting Bruce Irvin? That was a top 15 pick anyway.
Yeah, it was right around there. I think it was 13.
Like, do some of those things in order to make sure that you really restock this thing with talent. There's a lot of advantages. I know you don't like it, but there are advantages to being bad and picking up high in the draft and being willing at that point to decommit yourself from a lot of the contracts that you're in and really refresh an entire team. All of that being said, I think the answer for me comes down to how do you go 8-10? Do you go 8-10 because of Russ, Doug, and Bobby? That Russell's just a franchise quarterback, Doug Baldwin makes enough plays, and Bobby Wagner leads the defense to be just good enough that you end up winning 8-10 games and you kind of squeak by and your new guys aren't very good. If that's the case, I don't really want a part of that kind of 8-10 wins. I don't think that's real.
That young core continues to solidify.
But that's what
Bobby
I'm, but
and
that's
Russ.
A huge, no. Hey, you just added something that I'm not talking about. If you win 8-10, because Delano Hill turns out to be the real deal, and because one of the young defensive ends turns out to be the real deal, and you're going to sign, you know, Frank Clark has 15 sacks, and you're going to re-sign him now for the future, and you know Shaquem Griffin and Shaquille Griffin take the step. If that's why you end up winning 8-10, well, now all of a sudden you're feeling like 8-10 is growth. And now there's a chance for something really good to happen in the next couple
of
years.
Yeah, you win 3-6, you've got real challenges, Houston. We got real problems because that trend line's going severely the wrong way. you've got a coach that has been very clear that they're not in rebuild mode. They're in reset mode, and you got a franchise quarterback. Everything that's been told to Mr. Allen on the highest floor and the decision maker, who I think is and has always shown a propensity to be active and to make change within so many of his organizations, that trend line, Mike, from 14 to 15 to 16 to 17 to 18 goes one way. And if it takes that severe of a step and you win 3-6 games, less than you have – that would be the even in the beginning, you know, even in the beginning with some retreads and Band-Aids, you made the playoffs at 7-9 year one. That would open the door for utter chaos. That would
use the new word, but doesn't really know what it means. Propendency.
Did I say propendency? Tendency? Projection?
Propensity.
That's exactly right. He has a propensity.
I like them both. It's kind of a blend of both.
Thank you.
Tendency and propensity.
Yeah, I'm not even going to try that again. Appreciate you, Howdy. You don't want to win 3-6 games around here. You don't want that to happen. If you want Pete around, you want John around, you think they're really good guys, you don't want that to happen. You don't want Peter and Paul up above those guys to look at that situation and say, I'm sorry, this thing's going the wrong way. Or maybe you do. Maybe some of you out there feel like, nope, I want this to be so darn black and white, and I don't want in between. And I'm ready for change of quarterback. I'm ready to change for GM and head coach and everything else. And if it means one really tough season, then let's get some new blood in.
3-13 will. I mean, the problem is, what if it's 7 wins this year, 8 wins this year, and then you're on your way to 5 wins the year, and now you're just delaying the inevitable? It really depends on that. I got to know what kind of an 8-8, what kind of a 9-7 season you're talking about.
Is there an inevitable if you've got a franchise quarterback? Haven't you seen in this league, if you really believe that Russell is a franchise guy, I point to New Orleans, I point to Pittsburgh, I point to those places with Big Ben and Drew, and not even Aaron and Tom, who may be in their own little sphere, but those guys, you know, Matt Ryan for that matter as well. I mean, does there have to be this kind of bottom? Should there be this kind of bottom if you believe that this guy's your franchise quarterback? And I would say no. And it may mean, you know, frankly, at 3-13 gets hurt for the first time, that he gets so beat up, and then that would, you know, I think create utter chaos as well. So I don't want any of that.
206-421-3776. Stevens and Kennewick wants to weigh in right off the bat. Good morning, Steven.
Morning. How you guys doing?
Good.
So I'm kind of in the same boat. I was wrestling with this yesterday on John Clayton. He talked about how the stat came out where the Seahawks are going to be a 4-12 team, and he was like, that's ridiculous. There's no way they're going to do more than that. But I was thinking about it was, if we got 8-10 and possibly make the playoffs versus a 4-6 and we get a great draft pick, I went super selfish with it. And I started thinking that my fandom isn't based on Russell. It's not based on Bobby Wagner. It's not based on anything. It's based on the fact that I born, bred, and die a Seahawks fan. And so if we go 4-6, there's going to be a ton of people on the season ticket holder list who drop off ahead of me and move me up the list. So I'm all for 4-6.
Now, hold on a minute.
4-12.
Hold on a minute. Your big issue is that you want to win season tickets to the Seahawks?
I would love to.
Well, what do you need?
If they drop off the list, I'm further up.
Well, I hope you're paying attention to Danny David Moore this week. Why aren't you out there trying to get one of these celebrities to call in to win season tickets? What are you doing?
Oh, you don't believe it or not, I am going to be out there trying to get a celebrity call.
So you know yesterday. All right. Well, Joel McHale called in yesterday. We had Joel McHale on the line for Danny David Moore yesterday. They were talking to him about how he got into comedy.
Well,
it got better from there, yes. I promise.
Nice of you to say that. Let's see. I was and continue to be very dyslexic, and the only thing I was good at was sports and, telling jokes.
He went on from there. He was really good. He was funny. Joel McHale's a really funny dude. So if you want to win those season tickets, Steven.
There's 99 other celebrities on their list.
Absolutely. Get a better interview than Joel McHale. Get somebody who won't go, before this big answer. And you can win your season tickets. You don't have to just need them to go 4-12.
Hey, by the way, when we come back to this at 8, can you think about this for the last 20 minutes? Have the Mariners not fractured some of your belief of being all in or all out? Is this season in some way here in Seattle with them in a totally different sport? And by the way, where it is way harder.
No.
Where it is so much more difficult to change your scheme and your system and your personnel.
No.
Okay.
No.
All right, well, we'll have a good debate.
You should be all in or all out unless you are on your way up. That is my...
You are all in the NFL every single week, every single season.
Until you're not.
Who? No, the NFL is constantly moving, constantly evolving.
Brock, I'm not suggesting they tank. I'm just saying that what should you rather have them do? I'm not saying John should tank the season. No one's saying that. Where did you hear that? All I said is, as a fan, which would you rather have them do?
You know what? We got to go to break.
Because you're saying something inane, and now we got to go to break?
No, because I just don't.
I didn't say that.
He's right about going to break.
Oh,
sorry.
Sorry. Fair enough. All right. We'll deal with this in Coors Light's Blue 42 next. I'm Brock and Saul.
Here we go.
This is Coors Light's Blue 42.
We're going to go red, right, tight, close, sprint left, G, U corner, halfback, flat, on two. Ready, right.
Blue 42 is brought to you by Frost Brewed Coors Light. The mountains turn blue at 42 degrees.
Blue 42!
Now here's your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Song.
Blue 42! Blue 42!
All right, Brock and I have calmed down. We've worked out our differences, and we're ready to continue with the rest of the show.
Oh, we did?
I think so. Maybe we have. Maybe
no
we
more
to...
inane points of view?
Yes.
Yes.
Wait, who was inane?
That's what you called Brock's points inane.
Yeah, he did. He called me that. And I called him a propendity.
Propendity.
Is that what I said? I
don't know. Mike, you are a walking propendity.
I did say propendity.
I've always said that about
tendency
myself.
Tendency and propensity.
Okay. And propendity.
I need to check the tape.
Let's get back and check the tape. All right, three good football questions for Brock, if he still knows what he's talking about. Starting with this one, question number one. Brock, how in the world are the Eagles going to keep Foles and Wentz on their roster at the same time? What are they doing?
Yeah, they've got the makeup to handle it.
Come on.
No, they do.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they do. Nick Foles has been around the block long enough to know that the situation, there's certain quarterbacks that transcend any system. I think you could throw in and put them in any system and they would flourish. And then there's other guys that need the right fit in the right place. And Nick Foles' career, I think, has taught him that pretty clearly. That this is a wonderful place. This is a wonderful fit for me. But Carson is more talented. He's more physically gifted than I am when he is healthy. Now, if he's not healthy, then Nick Foles is going to slide right back in there. He's got the confidence of his team and his organization. And you know what they did right, Mike? They sweetened the pot. They didn't say to him, oh, we got you. Sorry. No, they gave him a couple extra million bucks. They took care of him financially for what he did for them in the second half. I don't foresee that as a big issue. Not this season. The following year, there's no way they're both on the
Yeah, we've never seen teams have a problem coming off of a Super Bowl win and having that tear them apart. And now you're going to add two quarterbacks that both deserve to be starting, one who won the Super Bowl and the other one who's
the
starting quarterback?
And you're going to use an inane point like comparing the Seattle Seahawks' personality with the Philadelphia
not
Eagles.
Saying, okay, I'm just saying that great. Not just them, plenty of teams.
That is
because there have been a lot of repeat Super Bowl winners around here recently. Tell me about all the repeat Super Bowl winners we've seen in
and
the last 15
And just tell me
years,
why you
got to
be
years.
So cynical of two selfless guys that can't make something work.
Question number two. Dak Prescott had an awesome rookie year, setback last year, and was not the same quarterback. We'll see what he is in week number three. How likely is Deshaun Watson to suffer that same sophomore slump?
Yeah, the difference there is Dak Prescott had an unbelievable run game. His job was made pretty darn easy with the best offensive line going, with Zeke Elliott, who some compared to Thomas Rawls. Zeke Elliott, who absolutely exploded his rookie year.
That's mean.
And it just made the job a whole lot easier. That wasn't the case for Deshaun. Deshaun made it go. Deshaun, you remember here. And in fact, Richard and Cam and Earl, you talk to those guys and ask them, and who was the baddest dude you played at quarterback? I think a bunch of them point to this guy who shredded them.
The snap throw is near side to Hopkins, who gets a block and breaks free. A flag is down, and there goes Hopkins. He's off to the races, but I think this is going to come back as Hopkins will run the length of the field into the end zone. But I think this is one is coming back. No, Watson says no. The penalty is against the Seahawks. Oh, my word.
Oh, my word. And there were a lot of words spoken, and they just went up and down the field. I mean, truly, they gashed the Seahawks defense. That was with Cam. That was with Earl. That was with that crew. They gashed him in a way we had just not seen. Michael Ben, all of them were there. And they watched Deshaun Watson do things and tear them up defensively, schematically, in ways that others hadn't. And it wasn't just a run game and, oh, my gosh, this is easy and here's play pass. Nope. It was zone read. It was shots down the field. It was a quick bubble screen like that. If healthy, Deshaun Watson's going to have no issues continuing to produce.
Why you got
to
drop in that Ezekiel Elliott? Why you got to say that? Why you got to drop that in there? Why you got to take a cheap shot?
I'm sorry.
I've admitted my mistake. Why you got to take cheap shots?
There's really...
You were so vociferous in how stupid you thought Kyle was for that. You were so, so strong.
you're going to have to eat that for a long time.
I think once you've apologized for it and said that it was the dumbest. Once you've said it's the dumbest thing you've ever said on the show, you don't get even like a little.
No?
Not even after that? Come on. Not even after saying that it was the dumbest thing I've ever said?
I don't know. I can't think of anything I do wrong.
We handling business right now. We on the hunt. We trying to go as far in the championship run. We trying to see wherever it leads us and just deal with the result whenever it comes.
I mean, we're talking about motivational Thomas Rawls here, Howdy. You can understand how a guy could get fooled on something like this, right?
Get carried away.
Who can last the longest? Can you truly endure that much pain? Because everybody out there hurting. Who the last one to give up?
You're so good.
What? What happened to that guy?
He lost his mind. Too many motivational speeches. Question number three.
I don't know. I can't think of anything I do wrong.
Question number three, Lydia. Press the button. Brock, what do you, your dad, and Damon all agree on when it comes to head injuries in football?
And why doesn't Luke get an opinion?
As usual. The only guy who's actually coaching isn't even asked.
What is this about?
Why do you guys hate Luke as much as you do?
Putting Luke down.
I knew what was at stake. My offensive line knew what was at stake. This whole team, we playing for keeps. It doesn't matter. It's the playoffs. It's time to go.
Okay.
Whoever ride, we ride. Whoever not, they got to go. And everybody in this team, in this locker room, they ride.
Why are you, Damon, and Coach Heward riding and Luke is not?
Yes.
Luke gets left out of the vacation trips. He gets.
Do you want me to answer the question
He's
about.
He's the only Heward male actually in the industry right
now. No, we're actually out of time. That's today's Coors Light's Blue 42. We got to run here.
My dad decided with Damon and I, and the only reason was because, you know, Luke had to hit things. But he decided with Damon and I, we were not going to play tackle football till 7th grade.
Okay.
He just felt from a developmental standpoint, physically and everything else, that we would not play in pads.
Kids shouldn't play until they're in 7th grade unless they need to hit things?
I'm just saying that was what he felt. And Luke said that was adamant. No. I'm going to do it my way, and I'm going to start hitting people in 5th grade. And he did it. So that's why the three of us are on the same page. Sam didn't play till 7th grade. Someone was asking me, like, hey, can Titus come play on the Little League East Lake team? I said, you know, I think we're just going to wait till 7th grade. That's just our feeling. That's not the right thing. We'll get to Larry Fedora and his CTE.
Well, let's do
comment.
That because he's one of the most tone-deaf people I've ever heard. Larry Fedora, Roger Goodell, Colin Kaepernick, your calls all next. Brock and Salk.
Game day Ross today.